Welcome to Alien Agenda. This is your host, Tony Tiora, and I'm here with my co-host, Ron Watkins. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. What a beautiful day.
It is a great day. It's we have to enjoy every day because I think with what's going on, you know, with COVID and whatnot. So today's show is COVID-19 Alien Agenda. And I almost feel like there's an alien agenda with COVID-19 these days, Ron. I know it's going to sound crazy.
That's not crazy. It doesn't sound crazy at all.
Yeah. Did you, we were talking earlier about this. What did you think about this Bannon show? Boy, he was talking about the antibody dependent enhancement stuff. I talked about that probably a year ago or so when this was Crazy Curious Minds. And it's been a while. I'm not even sure if that show was still posted or not. But did you watch that video with Bannon?
Yeah, I did watch that video with Bannon, and I believe he was talking to the creator or the inventor of the mRNA process.
Yep,
he was. So it wasn't just some random person he's talking to. That's actually one of the top experts in the field.
And oh, yeah.
Maybe the top expert, actually.
I think he is. His name is Dr. Robert Malone. He's an MD and he's a physician scientist. He's the actual inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology. And the funny thing is now is the mass media is trying to, you know, like attack him, which is kind of crazy. I mean, he invented all the technology and he was worried about this antibody dependent enhancement happening. So did you hear the latest news on that or no?
Well, there's a Japanese article that just came out. Not an article. It's a research paper by a bunch of Japanese scientists. And essentially they're saying that whoever gets the vaccine will actually get more sick.
Isn't that crazy? He was saying on the War Room, and I think, you know, that would probably be a good show to blast out. But he was saying stuff like this is like the nightmare scenario because they knew about this. They on all the other coronavirus studies in the past, you know, that they saw this antibody dependent enhancement. And, you know, it's kind of sad, but there were years ago vaccines where they discovered that children, you know, who got the vaccine versus not getting a certain vaccine, there were more deaths in the children who caught the vaccine. Now, obviously, that's never the intent. I mean, it should never be an intent of a pharmaceutical company. Nobody would want that. That's actually, you know, obviously a mistake. And that's why you need to do lots of testing. But the recent information that just came out, Ron, from what I can see, is that it's finally showing it's because, you know, it takes time, you know. You don't usually get an FDA approval in like a year's time for any vaccine.
Yeah, you don't. That's just not the speed that it happens. It usually takes years and years and years, maybe even like half a decade. And you can see that what the FDA approved is not what you think. They approved something called, I believe it's Covamirti. Terrible name.
That's
terrible,
weird.
Terrible name.
Sounds like a deadly name to me, man. COVID.
Yeah, sounds like an STD.
Right? You don't want to get that.
I got to get vaccinated from Covamirti so I don't catch that. Anyways, the FDA, they approved Covamirti. I believe it's called Covamirti. Let me double check what it's called. Covamirti?
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Is that what it's called?
Well, while you're looking, I'll mention some stuff that I saw.
Yeah. It's called Comirnaty. 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 Kind of sounds like community. Comirnaty.
Clominatity?
So they approved the vaccine called Comirnaty.
But what the heck?
I feel like I'm having a stroke just saying this word.
I mean, maybe they did that on purpose so you can't know what you're taking. I mean, what the heck? I mean, like, so.
They approved Comirnaty, and you can like, I believe they approved it for ages 16 and up in a 2-dose regimen, and with a third dose for people who have like extreme immunosuppressed systems, like those who have organ transplants or something similar. And They approved community, but the thing is, you can't get community. They're not selling it. That's not what you can get.
You got to be kidding me, Ron. People are going to say that this is like another conspiracy. Are you telling me that the Pfizer, what I call, and look, I'm not a medical scientist. I'm an engineer. So like, I'm really out of my league here, but are you telling me that what I consider COVID-19, SARS, COVID-2, whatever they call it, COVID-19, that they're saying that people got, and they're saying that people got a Delta variant, that the Pfizer vaccine that they're pushing right now, saying, hey, that's the one we want you to take, that's not approved. Something else is approved. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's correct. So the one that Pfizer, like the one that people know as the Pfizer vaccine, is still under EUA, which is emergency use authorization. That got extended. So it can still be used for emergency purposes. And that means that Pfizer is not liable for any detriments to the people who take the vaccine. So,
you got to be shitting me. Are you telling me that
it's a liability shield?
Oh God. So the news that they're trying to say when Biden, President Biden, goes up and says, well, there's no excuses to take your vaccine now. The FDA approved the vaccine. I don't know if he said Pfizer or not. Has nothing to do with the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines that they're shooting into people's arms right now?
It has nothing to do with Moderna. Moderna did not get FDA approval at all. But Pfizer's vaccine and Comirnaty, they were both included in the letter earlier.
Wow.
And it said that Comirnaty has full approval in ages 16 and up. And the Pfizer vaccine, which is a separate thing, has emergency use approval from ages, I believe, 12 and up. So, and they said the ingredients are basically the same, or I believe they're the same, but it's a liability shield for the vaccine makers, because with the emergency use authorization, you can't sue them if you have like a,
right,
if you get a stroke or a heart attack or something after getting the vaccine.
You can't even sue them anyhow. I mean, really, I mean, you can. It's a kangaroo court. Basically, I think it was like 1989. The vaccine makers got together. I have to check the date on that. But they got together and created what I call like a vaccine court. You can no longer go directly to, sue the vaccine makers. If you get a bad measles shot or your MMR and your kid gets like a brain inflammation and gets autism or whatever, and they don't like to put the two together. But I mean, if you get an infection in your brain, I'm sure it can cause autism, and I'm sure it's done to a lot of people. They just don't want to talk about it. But it's always like, it's kind of like, driving on the road. Do you want to get on the highway and drive to the shopping mall? And you're like, yeah, I got a 1 in 1 million or 10 million or whatever, 100 million chance of dying on the highways. Probably, and you're like, okay, I'll take the chance because I want to do it. But if you you say, hey, you take the vaccine and it's going to protect you, then versus the chance of dying from something like polio or getting sick from polio, you take the vaccine. But the cost benefit analysis is looking really bad on this one. I mean, when Dr. Malone said this, that the antibody dependent enhancement, that it's clear now that people who take the Pfizer vaccine are now, and here's the thing, it wanes off after 6 months, right? So you take the vaccine. It's like the perfect, corporate scam, Ron. You take the vaccine and then after 6 months, it's kind of useless. Now, who knows if you're getting T-cell immunity? Because like if you actually had the virus, you get like long-term T-cell immunity. But they're saying now that after 6 months, the you have to get a booster shot. So you'd be taking booster shots forever.
Well, and it's a subscription model. You know how well those do.
Yeah, we're at computers, so right?
Once you're in and your body relies on it to be like protected, then you're in for life, and you're getting booster shots every 6 months or maybe every 3 months, if you get sick, if you get blood clots, then they'll sell you the blood clot medicine too.
Dude, that's just insidious, Ron. If that's the case, I mean, I've been using contact lenses, monthly lenses, and then daily lenses. And, that you always wonder like, why don't they make you a contact lens that lasts forever? They probably can, but they don't make any money. So they got everybody addicted to, a vaccine now that they're going to need every 6 months. I mean, it's a great business model for Pfizer and all of them. They're going to make billions, if not trillions of dollars off the backs of the people that got to pay all this tax money to cover all these vaccines. They're giving away shopping bags if you get a vaccine. They're giving away $100 here, gift certificates, free baseball games. I mean, I've never seen such a sales force for, you know, a pharmaceutical company. I mean, I think it's just horrible. So what Malone said, Dr. Malone said, was that now, if you take the Pfizer, it looks like the research is showing that, you know, after it wanes, you're actually more infectious. You have a higher level of the virus in your body, and you know, it's looking very dangerous. And for kids, man, I think anybody who puts a kid, I would say under the age of 21 is out of their mind. I think given any kid this vaccine, it almost seems alien, Ron. You know, this is a topic of aliens here. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this in your life? I mean, I'm a little bit older than you, so I've seen some weird stuff, but have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, it's quite a creepy marketing campaign that the vaccine producers are doing. They've got the CEO of Pfizer coming out and saying they're making a version or whatever for 5-year-olds, and that they're preparing a third booster shot for everybody.
5-year-olds? What's the science for that? What is the science behind science. That? There's no science, right?
Well, that's the thing. There's no science. With science, you need to be able to criticize what's put out, and you're not allowed to criticize this stuff. So there's no science.
You know, I'm a big Ron Paul fan, and I, you know, I contributed money, and I've met the guy years ago. And, you know, he's talking about it now, and I think he's probably banned from all the social media too. I mean, what is going on in this country? You know, you're a big social media guy. What the heck's happened with America? How do you fix this? What's going on?
Well, to fix this, you're going to have to look at a lot of different things that are going, like running in parallel. First, you have to really rein in these vaccine and pharmaceutical companies. They're really, really pushing the border to tyranny. It's medical tyranny. But they wouldn't be able to do that themselves unless they had like some kind of propaganda or media on their side to help push this tyranny.
Yeah.
So then you have to look closely at what is their back end? What are they using to push this this narrative and message out? And you'll see things like Twitter and Facebook and Google. They're out there pushing and pushing and pushing. So it either shows that they're in their pocket, or maybe they're working together towards some kind of similar agenda, or they're doing something. But a big problem is they keep saying trust the science, and you can't trust science that you're not allowed to criticize, because the entire point of science is to put out an idea, a hypothesis, and then have it criticized. And if it gets through the criticism, then you're probably on the right track to finding the truth. And with this COVID stuff, they put out the science, but you're not allowed to criticize it. So that is not science, and that's not the scientific method. And a big part of not being allowed to criticize it is the censorship. So if you have 10 scientists that say that Comirnaty works, and then you have the one scientist that says, hey, there might be a problem here, then there is not a scientific consensus. But at that point, if you have a company like Google or Twitter or Facebook who come out and just ban that one scientist, then suddenly you have a consensus.
You know, I mean, some of the people I respect the most are really, really having a problem with what's going on. And it's not, and it's also like, you know, people have money. Like if you're Newstrom out of California, you know, my previous residence state, which I finally sold my house, thank God, and got out of there. But my wife and I, you know, were there doing this whole thing blowing up in like February a year ago or whatever, when he started putting all these emergency orders. And if you watch the TV in America now, it's all about this drug, this, take this drug. Oh, and then if you got heart problems from taking the drug, take this drug, and that'll fix the problems from the previous drug. I mean, it's like a joke. You don't see this in Japan, you know. I escaped from California so that my son could go to school and have a decent life here, you know, in Japan. I don't have a lot of money, but, you know, I make probably more money than the average person does. But I feel sorry for like my relatives and I shouldn't say average. I mean, these folks have decent jobs, and the kids are being thrown out of school. You know, they're being like, I mean, they're stuck at home. The people can't work. They got to live off the government. People, hardworking Americans who want a job, you know, are stuck home taking checks. you know, taking care of the kids. You know, Glenn Greenwald, who I really respect, he talked about something. He wrote an article recently. He said COVID is contagious while car accidents are not. How does that bear on one's willingness to endorse road policies, such as allowing driving cars at high speeds that will inevitably kill large numbers of people, or one's refusal to consider the countervailing costs of anti-COVID measures? So he's talking about, you know, you save a life here. You know, at what point, I mean, is the government supposed to be in the business of saving every single life? I mean, first of all, not to be, you know, funny or anything, like, we're all going to die someday. Okay. So you're not going to save everybody from completely not dying. We're all going to pass on. We don't want people like falling off a cliff, you know, so you put like bridges and fences so kids don't, you know, fall off cliffs, but you know, dummies will still get off that cliff. Dumb people will still find ways to fall off that cliff. But it's a cost benefit, you know, if like, say, you know, so many million people die, you know, on the highways because we drive over 25 miles an hour, people say, you know what, I accept that risk. But, you know, I don't think the numbers make sense anymore. You're not even allowed to talk about, you know, opening up because you might, you know, put one grandmother or somebody at risk. I mean, where did this come from? You know, Greenwald talked about it in an article. And you're not allowed to talk about it anymore. What do you think that's all about? Why are we so worried now about saving every person's life? You know, when we poison people's water, you know, we put out the worst food in the world, you know, toxic foods and, you know, all the fast foods. I mean, we don't, you know, what are we supposed to go after?
If they're so worried about saving everybody's life, why aren't they getting those 10,000 people in Afghanistan that are stuck?
Well, that's a pretty good question you brought up. That's another problem, isn't it? I mean, that's the dumbest exit from a country I've ever seen. What happened
there? Well, they took the military out first before taking the civilians out. What's that about? You take the civilians out first, and then you take the military. They did it backwards.
Why do you think he did that? I mean, he can't be that stupid.
Well, I mean, it's either he's just stupid or it was planned.
I mean, like, that's a stupid plan. I mean, I think you might have said this on the other show we were on, or somebody said this, that they think that people are trying to screw up Biden. I mean, like, I don't think you have to work really hard to screw up Biden, to be honest, okay, first of all. I mean, like, you know, they do is give him speeches to read, and I don't even think he can read them correctly. But I mean, like, I don't think soldiers and the military would leave civilians in harm's way, you unless they had really dumb generals out there. I mean, you think that's what happened? You think some dumb general said, hey, we got to get out of here and you know, screw the civilians? I hope that's not the case.
Well, no, what I think is actually happening is the Pentagon and the military are ready with the airplanes ready to evacuate people. But the State Department keeps sending out messages saying, don't go to the airport, don't go to the airport. So U.S. citizens in Afghanistan are getting the message from the State Department, like to their emails, to their phones or whatever, and it's saying don't go to the airport. But the military is at the airport waiting for these people. So,
wow.
Yeah, so someone's sabotaging something, and I don't think it's the military.
No, why the heck? I don't think so either. I don't think they would do that to their fellow servicemen or to their fellow civilians.
I don't think
so. They're protected. It sounds like the White House is just dumber than a bunch of rocks. I mean,
I think it's an internal struggle between the White House and the State Department.
Well, why would the State Department be so stupid? You know, why would they do that? They just don't like.
Well, it might not be that they're being stupid. It might be a really expedient way to cause some trouble, because the Taliban did give an ultimatum, got to be out by September 1 or there's going to be like repercussions. So if the State Department can stall until September 1, and then the Taliban goes around hunting all the Americans out there, it's going to look really, really bad
for the
White House.
Yes, but then that becomes, I mean, that's really shitty, to be honest, because I've done consulting. I've been stuck on military ships, and I'll tell you how pissed I would be and a bunch of civilians would be if I thought the State Department was using me as a pawn to get at the president. Do you know what I mean? Now, you may say, well, you don't like Biden, so let's get him out, you know, and that's fine. People don't have to like Biden, but you don't screw over civilian populations to do that. That shows that. And if that's the case, Biden should fire the State Department, but he probably doesn't, you know, probably doesn't know.
I don't think he realizes what's going on, but this is what I'm seeing. I mean, I don't know if that's actually their motive or anything, but You can see the facts. The facts are the military is at the airport waiting to pick people up, and Americans aren't going to the airport because they're told not to by the State Department. So the military is like, well, we got to pick up people anyway, so let's just fill it up with these Afghans and then fly out.
So the Afghans are getting out before the civilians. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
You got to be kidding me.
And then whatever civilians like brave through the hordes of Taliban patrolling the streets and manage to get to the airport. I mean, yeah, they're probably being evacuated. They probably are. And so, they probably have priority when they get there. When they get to the airport, they probably do have priority. I imagine they would not say, okay, we got to bring four more Taliban people before you can get on the plane. I don't think that's happening.
But they can't I heard the Taliban are stopping them, you know, at the gate saying, oh, you got an American passport. They rip it up and they say, give me some money. Otherwise, we're ripping up your passport. I mean, I heard.
I'm hearing stuff like that, too. And they've blown up bridges and roads, like leaving the main cities. And you can't they're trapping people in. And come September 1st, they're going to start hunting. And God help you if you're out there when the American planes leave and you're still on the ground.
So this looks like. You know, I said this on the other show. I don't know how Biden, you know, President Biden's going to get, you know, people call him resident Biden, but I mean, I'm going to call him President Biden, but I don't think he's going to stay president too long with this kind of shenanigans going on. What I found, you know, also interesting is if you're at like war with the Taliban and then now you're talking nice about the Taliban, why I saw it on your Code Monkey Z channel. Holy shit. I can't believe we left all that equipment in Afghanistan. Could you just give me a little rundown? I mean, I was on your channel, but I mean, is that even 10%? I mean, I'm sure it's probably true, Ron. I mean, but how the heck could they leave that much equipment from what I saw? I mean, it makes no sense. It's almost unbelievable, to be honest. I mean, I believe what you wrote, but it's almost unbelievable. Could you?
I believe they left almost everything. They left like 200 some airplanes, including fighter jets and cargo planes and like Black Hawk helicopters and scout helicopters and drones. And they left tons of guns and ammo and like vehicles like Humvees and maybe even tanks. I don't know about tanks, but maybe. And they left a bunch of like military laptops and hardware, and all the bases were left there also.
What happened? Were they attacked by aliens? I mean, this is an alien show here. It almost seems like, you know, I mean, is there an asteroid coming and nobody cares anymore? Is an asteroid going to like hit the ocean and we're all going to get flooded in a flood or something? I mean, like, none of this actually makes any sense to me. And I'm a science fiction writer, by the way, so I can write some crazy stuff. But like, you wouldn't write this in a story. I mean, if you were writing a story where people just abandoned everything to get out of there, it's like, you know, like aliens were going to come and wipe them out with laser guns or something. I mean, why would they do that? You have any
idea? Well, it looks like a surrender. Like they surrendered to the Taliban. That's what it looks like.
To the Taliban?
And why is the U.S. military surrendering to the Taliban? There's something going on here. And I think we can look to the CIA to try to figure it out, because this, I believe the head of the CIA went to Afghanistan to talk to the leader of the Taliban a few days ago in a secret meeting that got leaked.
So
the top U.S. representative talking to the Taliban leaders is the head of the CIA.
Yeah, but, you know, to me, it makes sense. It almost, I mean, it in a sad way. Normally, you would think that the most powerful military person, you know, would be in negotiations with their most powerful military person, you know. And so it's no longer like our generals. I mean, it's the CIA is like our most powerful general. I mean, years ago when the CIA was created, the Central Intelligence Agency, it's an intelligence gathering agency. It was never really meant to be like a war agency. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like in charge of your military. But are you telling me that the CIA is now in charge of our military?
Well, I don't know if they went there to represent the military or not, but they did go there to talk with the leader of the Taliban. I personally think that it has something to do with the poppy fields, because, you know, the CIA runs the poppy fields in Afghanistan to fund their black projects.
Yeah, and I know that. I mean, that was crazy. And people are going to say this show is, you know, off the wall on some conspiracy, you know, podcast. But if anybody does any real research, you'll notice you can see pictures of the military and people and many military when they left the service complaining that, you know, they thought they were there to fight for freedom and to protect America from these terrorists. But yet they're protecting the poppy fields, which creates heroin and opium and all this stuff that then drugs up our American society and destroys and crumbles our civilization. I mean, it's almost like when, you know, when people talk about good and evil, it's like we've become the evil. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. I mean, if this was like China or Russia, right? And we saw Russian troops protecting the Afghanistani poppy seeds, and then the drugs were coming into America, people would be up in arms saying, you know what? Our people are dying of drugs in the street. It's destroying our country. And Russians are there producing these drugs to destroy Americans. Americans would at least understand that. They'd be like, yeah, we think Russia's our enemy, right? You know, this is the thought process. But to have our own government protect poppy fields, to destroy our children in the streets and murder and cause havoc. I mean, where is our moral authority, Ron? What the heck is going on? Is our government?
Well, I don't know what they're doing with the poppies, but I do know that they had military out there protecting the poppy fields. Ultimately, what happens to those poppies is not in my purview, but we can all imagine what happens to those poppies. It doesn't take much to put two and two together and come to four, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm a science fiction writer, so I'm used to like imagining stuff. So
you don't need much imagination to figure out why the CIA is protecting poppy fields in Afghanistan, and why the CIA would be the first major like bureau to go talk with the new leaders of Afghanistan. They're probably just out there trying to make sure that their poppy fields are going to be secure even under the new regime.
Wow. So. Do you think so? Do you think Biden knew all along that the Taliban was going to take over? Or do you think this was something that he woke up one morning after eating his oatmeal, you know, and he's watching the news and he's like, and he spits it out and says, holy shit, we're in bed with the Taliban. And then his people say, yes, Mr. President, we told you that in the other briefing. Did you read your briefing? And, you know, I mean, do you think he knew about it?
Well, no, I think he probably didn't know about it. So, you know, General Milley, he's a big proponent of race theory and critical race theory.
Is he the one that dyes his hair purple? Is that the general that dyes?
It's that guy, but I don't think he actually dyed it purple.
Oh, I saw it on one of the websites. He had purple hair.
That's fake news, but it's funny. Funny fake news.
Sorry, I was just joking, Ron. By the way,
yeah, but he came out and said he didn't see this coming. He had no idea that it was going to come. That it was going to be like this. And he's the one that would probably be briefing the Biden on this. So
right,
if he's telling Biden there's no problem, then of course Biden's going to say there's no problem, because it's like the general of the army telling him there's no problem. But, you know, listen to your advisors when you're in that position. And he's just got that advice.
Well, you know, I want to make it, you know, say it on the record here that I am absolutely 100% in support of getting out of Afghanistan. I think that the 10 years or whatever, how many years were we there?
I believe it's 20.
20 years, Jesus. And the trillions of dollars that we spent, you know, and the blowback we're going to get. I mean, I calculated the cost. Anybody listening to this show should know that them, their spouse or partner, their children or anybody they know, even a homeless person walking in the street, every person now has to cough up $6,000 for all the money that we borrowed for this supposed, you know, war that was going to liberate, you know, Afghanistan so that the Taliban could take over. Last I read, the Taliban was like our enemy, you know, and now we're in negotiations with them in the poppy fields. I mean, this, you can't make a, you couldn't even write a science fiction story this bad, Ron. It's absolutely horrible. How do you think this is going to affect Biden in the midterms and also in the next election? Do you think, do you think he's going to make it to the next election? What's your bet on that?
Well, I don't know for sure, but there's a high probability he'll have the 25th Amendment used against him if he doesn't make like the right choices to defend against that. And right. From what I can see is he is making the right choices to defend against that, but who knows? Like there's a lot moving against him, and we're not going to be able to see that until it actually happens. I don't think they're going to telegraph that kind of movement.
So,
and leading into the 2022 midterms, I think the House is going to go super right. They're going to lose a lot of seats on the Democrat. The Democrats are going to lose a lot of seats.
Good for
and it all goes back to how or to what the it all goes back to what the executive branch is doing right now, and it's just giving a lot of ammo to the politicians on the right to use against use to win in the 2022 elections.
Well, personally, you know, I think you know, like moderate or like right-leaning, you know, blue dog, you know, Democrats or anybody, you know, who has a brain on this situation, you know, is going to say, you know, that they should consider voting more either real, like if you're a Democrat, I think Democrats should consider voting for like really, you know, conservative Democrats leaning towards the right, or vote for candidates that are Republican, because it's in their best interest too. What's happening now is really a tragedy. I mean, I don't think a Democrat or a Republican wants to see American civilians be stranded like that. It's incompetence is what it is. And we know when the White House said that people, you know, they didn't strand people and they were trying to, you know, make some arguments. I mean, it's all stupid. And you know, people know the truth. I personally think that they're not going to get out by September 1st. That's where I bet my money. And I'm wondering what's going to happen if they don't get out. I mean, it's the Taliban's now like dictating to the biggest power in the world. You got to get out by the 1st or else. What's going to happen if we don't get out? Because I don't think we're going to be able to get out by the 1st.
Well, they're going to go around and hunt down everybody and then probably use them for ransom. So they're going to sell all these people back. And it's terrible, but that's what I think is going to be happening.
Well, you know, we blocked all their money. So what they'll do is they'll probably, you know, use it so that the funds are unfrozen, or they'll say, hey, we need some gasoline for all those 200 planes and tanks and systems you left us. And we want training manuals on how to use these weapons. Otherwise, we're not going to let your American citizens go. I mean, we're going to get blackmailed.
Well, right? You know, those Blackhawks. The planes are really not, or the helicopters are really nice, but you can only fly them a couple times before the parts wear out, and then you have to replace the parts.
So they'll sell some
opium. Do they have a bunch of parts too?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they had them in crates. I mean, the military usually doesn't send stuff out without parts, but they probably
but do. They have the maintenance guys that can replace the parts.
This is a joke. I mean, like, are you telling me that, like, we gave, like, the Taliban, the people that we're fighting against, like, billions of dollars worth of our most sophisticated equipment? I think I saw a drone on there. We actually gave them a drone, too?
Yeah. And not like those quadcopters you buy at the store. These are, like, military-grade drones that can fly for hours and hours and hours and gather intel and maybe even drop bombs. I'm not sure what it's capable of, but...
This is like alien stuff. It's like aliens, you know, crash landed in America, you know, in Roswell, and we took their equipment. Now, you know, the Taliban's going to get our advanced technology and use it against us and our people and in our interests in the area. So, I just can't get any stupider than this. I wonder why they can't get this equipment on planes and ship it back. I don't get it.
We saw the video the video of the evacuation with like a Land Cruiser truck in the back of a plane. How many more people could they have evacuated if they didn't bring that truck with them?
Yeah, so it makes sense. They should get the people out first. I mean, they should have gotten the people on the base, right? Create a protected zone, you know what I'm saying? Or protect part of the city and put perimeters out. You know, I mean, this is not like rocket science. You say, this is where we want you to come to. You know, they get some stadiums or some buildings, or, you know, they create a perimeter. They protect the perimeter. They get out the civilians, right? They get out their equipment, you know, and you can always have planes over air for airstrikes and drones and stuff like that. Get all your, you know, Apache helicopters and stuff, and fly to a neutral zone where you're not going to get bombed by the Taliban and get the heck out of there in an organized fashion, rather than, I mean, like, it's an insult to the Americans, you know, to the tax paying, you know, working class Americans that, you know, put all this money and all this, you know, Julian Assange said about this, right? Did you hear what Julian Assange said about this whole thing in Afghanistan?
What do you say?
It's interesting. There's a video out there. I'll send it to you. Julian Assange said that Afghanistan, was not like a war, you know, to protect anybody or for 9/11 or anything. It was basically a place where the United States could do a transfer of wealth. Basically, they could use that to transfer money into like military companies, consultants. You know, it's just like a mafia slush fund, you know, or like, you know, in a bank where they try to like when they layer money and they try to do, I forgot what it's called. Geez, I worked in banking. I can't even.
It's called money laundering.
It's money laundering, but there's ways of doing it where you try to get a abstraction layer. So, you know, you get a pizza place that doesn't make any money. So it's laundering the money basically. Right. Yep. So they're using, you know, San said that they're basically using Afghanistan to launder money. And you know what, when you've got like poppy fields creating drugs, it looks like a mafia laundering operation. I mean, you'd be like, if you just said the mafia was there, it would make sense. I mean, we've lost all our moral authority, Ron. I really think that, and it makes you wonder if you, yeah.
But a big thing about that is, why did we just give up the U.S. government's money laundering place overnight? We just gave it up. Now they can't do that anymore. And probably lots of people are pissed off.
Well, maybe they're using COVID for money laundering. Maybe that's the new money laundering, you know, COVID-19.
Oh, yeah. Maybe COVID is easier to use than these poppy fields that they have to protect with the military.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe Trump set it up so that he had to get out of there. You know, a lot of people, you know, think.
Oh, he did that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he did. I think it was actually him that got us out of there. He talked about being in these wars that we shouldn't be in. As much as people complain about Trump,
getting out of Afghanistan is the right move, but the way you do it is not how it was done. It was done backwards. You get the people out first and then the military, not the military first.
If you don't take care of the people.
Yeah, because now you're seeing videos of how they're evacuating people on the tarmacs at the airport, and you see the U.S. Marines or Army or whatever standing about 10 or 20 feet from Taliban soldiers who also have guns. So they're like breathing down each other's neck on the tarmacs.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there's no perimeter. It's essentially a clusterfuck.
I didn't know this. The Taliban's actually on the airfields now?
Yeah, they're standing like 10, 20 feet from the U.S. Army, who also have guns. They all have guns. And they're just standing there together, like watching these airplanes take off.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So next topic. Oh my God. You know, this one's a hot one. But next thing, what's going on, you know, with election integrity? I'm just curious. What's going on with that? Anything good going on?
All right. So the audit results, according to AZ Senate President Karen Fan, were supposed to have been released mid-August, which I believe was like last Friday, I think, right, was when it was projected. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just going based on what I've seen in the media. And last Friday, so that didn't happen, and that it didn't happen because like the main team of auditors came down with COVID in their office. So more than half of their office had COVID, and they were really, really sick from what I understand. And so they had to delay the report by a few days, and that really upset a lot of people. But there's not much that can be done. I mean, when your whole team essentially gets deathly ill, then you can't really finish up a report. That's the last thing you should be focusing on. You should focus on your health and making sure you're still alive.
Yeah,
before you finish writing that report. Well,
I would agree with that statement. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's definitely disappointing to a lot of people, and but I don't think they are black hats. I don't think they're trying to to fool anybody. It's just they actually just got sick.
Right. So what about legislation? Have you followed any of the legislation? I'm just curious because people were complaining that it's voter suppression, that, you know, that the Republicans are trying to create laws to suppress the voters, versus, you know, Republicans saying, look, we don't want, you know, phony votes going in.
What do you think with legislation? Like, do you see the different state legislatures putting together new rules and stuff to approach the 2022 elections? And some states are saying, oh, you need ID. Some states are saying no more mail-in ballots. Some states are saying more mail-in ballots. I mean, it's all over the spectrum. And then you have the federal government with HR 1 essentially trying to put their hat into the game also, but they shouldn't really have any standing there because elections are a state issue, not a federal issue. So I don't understand why they're trying to push that bill through and doing it at like 3 a.m. And they almost passed it, but luckily Ted Cruz was there to block it at 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, just needed one person to say no, and he stayed up all night and said nope.
I give Ted Cruz a lot of credit, you know.
Yeah.
That's there's a few leaders out there, and he's definitely one of them.
Definitely is. And he's putting it on the line, and he's making sure the stuff that needs to get blocked stays blocked, and that they're not pushing it through in the middle of the night while everybody's sleeping.
What dirty politics. Dirty politics.
It's really creepy.
Huh. So the 2020, let's get to the 2020, because I think that the only
2022?
Way. 2022? Oh, yeah, 20. I was 2020. I'm falling asleep here. I think I took one of Biden's pills. So in 2022, because after the 2020 election, you know, the midterms is, I was thinking of, you know, the presidential, but basically, you know, with Biden getting in and all the stuff that's going on, do you think that, I think his approval rating went down to like 41%. Was it like at 49? We spoke like a week or two ago, and now it went down to 41. That's
well, it's going to drop way lower when they start massacring American citizens in September.
Well, they won't put it on the news. That's the thing. So it may even be happening now, Ron. I think they could be already blackmailing the United States, but the news is never going to publish. I mean, they won't even publish where a virus comes from. How are they going to publish, you know, somebody, you know, kidnapped overseas? It'll be actually an alternate media site like yours that will publish it. You know, I seriously doubt.
Well, CNN. if I get information that it's happening and it's not published anywhere else, I will.
I know you will, you know, so do you think that the 2022 midterm elections, you really believe, because, you know, it looks like a lot of folks thought that, you know, in Georgia and places like that, that the senators and stuff like that would have a chance and that there would be some kind of like, I think I like when a government can't do much, to be honest. You know, I kind of like when it's deadlocked. Now, I lean Republican and I'm a Republican, but I kind of like it when they can't do a lot of work. And I just going to sound, you know, very Machiavellian. But the reason is I don't trust most of these politicians. Right. It's usually when they're, you know, I mean, they're destroying the dollar. Right. And Republicans are doing it, too. But the Democrats are just doing it faster. You know, it's being done with the dollar being destroyed because of all the money that they're borrowing and whatnot. These endless wars that, you know, that Assange is saying is just being used to, you know, launder money into the pockets of these rich cabal and stuff like that. Do you think that in 2022 that the House and maybe the Senate, you know, because there's no presidential election, but the House and the Senate, you think some of them, you think it's going to be more Republican than Democrat? And if you had to say so now, what's the main reason with people, you know, the independents? Because you're going to need the independent vote. And I vote independent many times in the past. So how do you get people like me, although I do lean more right now, to vote, you know, for the Republicans and kind of break up the control that the Democrats have? What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, first off, you're seeing stuff like Biden coming out and making these huge mistakes, and that's going to turn people off from going out to vote. So the Democrat turnout is probably going to be low. And from there, you're seeing the right is getting, they're getting hyped up to vote for these new candidates coming in 2022, and there are a lot of really good ones,
right?
Like,
yeah,
and well, oh, good. And in the Larry Elder in California, Elder. He's looking good too. He's like the face of white supremacy out there now, which
what?
Is
you know, an
according to the news media. I mean, that's what the news media is saying, and that means they have nothing on him when they're saying stuff like that. They're just scared and they're making anything up that they can. They're just hoping people don't see a picture of him and realize he's actually a black guy.
Well, you know, I like Larry Elder. And, you know, I thought that, you know, Schwarzenegger would have been like a decent, you know, Republican. He was kind of a Democrat. He was married to a Democrat. So he was kind of like an independent like myself. But God, the guy became such a Democrat later on. You know, he's so for, he's getting on telling everybody, forget your freedom, go get your vaccine. I hate to say it, you know, as strong as this guy used to be, because I lift weights and I'm into physical health, and I always respect the guy from a bodybuilding perspective. As governor, you know, he was like so-so. But now he seems like an old guy that's scared, you know, the virus, and he's telling everybody they got to lose their freedom. I really lost respect. I used to love him in television, and I loved him. I just didn't say I loved him in politics. I was okay with him in politics. But now I think Schwarzenegger, you know, has lost it, you know, with the stuff that he's saying on vaccines. You know, you got to take the vaccine. You know, what about your freedom? Screw your freedom, you know, but elders, you know, I think he probably has, I don't think he's a Democrat by any means, but he's got more of this middle road. He's got a little bit of the good part of Schwarzenegger in him. I think he's going to attract a lot of votes. And I really do hope, even though, you know, I mean, I sold my house in California, couldn't stand living there anymore. I think we got hope for elders. I really like the guy. You think he's got a chance of winning, huh?
Yeah, he definitely has a chance to win, but it'll be hard to get people out to vote for that. Yeah. Especially with all of the suppression going on with the media, they're really trying to bury him in bad news. They're just making it up as they go. They're calling this black guy a white supremacist, which is very, very strange.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What about black guys?
I mean, it goes back to that one Dave Chappelle skit from like a decade or more ago, where he's like the one black KKK member.
Yeah,
but he's blind. He doesn't know that he's black.
You know, I mean, like in today's world, do we really care if somebody's like an African American, Italian American, you know, an Asian?
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't look at color of the skin. We should look at the policies that they're putting out and the merit and what they've done in the past and how they've approached things in the past. That's how you're going to get the best indication of what they're going to be able to do once they're voted in.
But you
and he's pretty solid, and he's been solid. So yeah. I think that's why he's threat number one right now for that.
Well, anybody listening to the show, vote for Larry Elders. He's got my support. Anyhow, I think he sounds like he's got your support too, Ron. But you can't get the information out. That's the other problem. You always telling me this, you know, we talk privately once in a while about, you know, digital rights. You're always talking about how, like, that's, you know, you're able to get your message out, but you've been shut down like everywhere. And you're always complaining about digital rights. What do you mean by like digital rights or digital constitution? Or I think Snowden talked about this and other people, but what do you technical guys mean when you're talking about digital rights? That's probably pretty important right now, I would think.
All right. So like a year or two ago, I believe in the final print issue of the Playboy magazine, they interviewed me and I talked about a digital bill of rights. And I didn't go into detail of what like the rights would entail. I just said, we probably need this. And this is something that that's important going forward.
So, and what is it? What is it?
Well, I mean, there's nothing like written down or concrete yet, but having rights online would is very important, because you're starting to see the government and private corporations melding together. So you have like it might not be Biden's admin personally, it might not be the White House personally, but is Google taking ban requests from the White House? Is YouTube taking ban requests from the White House? Is PayPal going to ban you when the White House asks you to or asks them to? I mean, we don't know exactly what's going on. And because they're using these private companies as shields, they are able to skirt the current constitution, which says that the government can't infringe on your rights. It doesn't say the private companies can. But when you start seeing the government and private companies like melding together and becoming one entity, then the government's using these private companies as some kind of liability shield or constitutional shield. And in that situation is where we need this digital bill of rights. where private companies can't step on your rights either. And people go back and say, well, isn't it within the private company's rights to ban you? Isn't that part of like their rights also? And in a sense, yes, but some of these companies are so big that they are essentially the modern day telephone. And would you want the telephone listening in on you and saying, oh, you're not allowed to talk about that, let's turn you off?
Well,
that's essentially what's going on with these big companies.
You know, you got me thinking about this, Ron, you know, and if you think about it, like to use an example, Amazon, for example, right? Do they do business with the United States government?
Yeah, they do.
And does Microsoft do business with the United States government?
Yes, they do.
Right? So
then Google too.
And Google, I should have mentioned that Google, probably Apple does. I don't know about Apple, but I'm sure that I know that Google does. So then, right? If they're in business with the government, then some of their financial backing and their profits come from the government. So therefore, they should be almost, as you said, be considered like a quasi, you know, government entity, that they should not be allowed to remove people for political free speech. They shouldn't. Or medical or anything else. So, you know, when they remove people, and you're right, you know, Google, Twitter, you know, Facebook and all this, they're all like the telephone company now. And they've gotten involved in politics. And so they shut you off, you know. So now, you know, it's a big problem. I think that folks like you, and I think Snowden and other folks that talked about this digital bill of rights, I think Switzerland is somebody's actually got it. I think that you know, we should consider, you know, putting something like that together in America and finding, you know, legislators, you know, maybe get at Larry Elder's to, you know, to work. Well, that would just be for California, but maybe send it to Ted Cruz and see what he thinks, you know, put something together.
Well, it would need to go through the House first as a bill, right? And then get through the Senate and then be signed off.
Yeah, but that's probably why I never won an election. You know more about it than I do. You're right. Actually, you're right. The House would have to do it. So we have to find somebody in the House. If Ron Paul was there, I'm sure he'd be into it, but he's not there anymore. But it's very interesting. Very interesting. I think you're right. I think because I always say that the election was lost, not just because of potential election integrity issues, because I don't know. And as you said, the report's coming out. We'll see that report. And we'll hopefully, you know, find ways to make the system better, you know, for the next election. I think everybody, whether you're Democrat, Republican, wants to have honest and fair and accurate, you know, elections. Many people, you know, behind the scenes say, I don't give a shit. As long as my candidate wins, I don't care if we cheat, lie, and steal. And that's not good for America. If that's what you believe, I don't believe that for a Republican, and I don't believe that it should be for a Democrat or anybody. I think that we should all have honest and fair and accurate elections. That's from a technical perspective of showing, you know, proving that, you know, you're an actual citizen and able and registered to vote in the area that you're voting, and you're not like an illegal alien, that you're not lying about the district, that you just moved there just to vote to screw up an election, that it's fair. But the elections now, I think people have lost, both Democrats and Republicans have lost a lot of confidence, Ron. Would you agree that both parties have lost confidence in the elections?
Oh yeah, for sure. Back in 2016, they spent like 3 or 4 years complaining about how Trump like stole the election with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And now, now they're turning a blind eye when the Republicans are like, hey, there was some shenanigans going on, or at least it looks like it, and we want to check into what happened. But they're blocking it. At every turn you go, it's being blocked. So
it's crazy. And besides having accurate elections, I think the elections are also fraudulent in a sense. I mean, you know, I really do believe elections are fraudulent in a sense, because I was explaining this to my wife the other day on a whiteboard. She probably hates me because I'm an engineer, you know, and she wants to like watch a soap opera, but I'm taking like a whiteboard, you know, and I'm like, you know, I asked her a question about something, you know, about what was going on, you know, just her thoughts of what was going on with COVID in Japan, because Japan's been a lot more freer than the United States. Kids get to go to school, you know, you get to go to more restaurants, but they're doing some lockdowns in Northern Japan now because wow, they had 200 cases, you know, of COVID, you know, for 3 million people, you know, I mean, it's like, it's like nothing. But I try to explain to her, like, you know, where do people make their decisions? She says, well, I make my decision based on, you know, information. And we were just doing this thought process. And I said, so where do you get your information? And she's like, I get it from the internet and I get it from TV. And I'm like, okay, where do you get it on the internet? She goes, well, I use Google. I search for stuff on Google, you know, and I read the articles, you know, or I'll read something on Twitter or whatever, you know, and she'll watch the television. And I'm like, well, so if internet is giving you false information or tailored information, and the television is doing the same thing, then how can you make an intelligent decision? And she starts looking at me again with those eyes. She's like, I know where this is going. You're going to try to tell me that the mass media is brainwashing me. And I'm like, well, you know, think about it. Are they, you know, because like even in Japan, there's only a few newspapers and Google, you know, is still an American company. So people are brainwashed by the material they get. So if they don't get the information about like Biden or Trump, you know, or they don't get the good or the bad. And then these tech companies, you know, no longer become, you know, fair, you know, they become biased to whoever they want to win. They're so powerful now, Ron, that they can literally predict and determine who's going to be your politician. Can they not? Are they not the top, like, say, 3 to 5 tech companies strong enough that they can control who wins an election? Do you believe that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can control. There's a few tech companies that have a lot of control, and that's like Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and Twitter now. If for some reason these four companies got together and decided, okay, we're going to pick this candidate and that candidate and this candidate, then and put all their resources into pushing that, then I think there's almost no way to win if these four companies are backed up against you.
So then you definitely need legislation, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, like a digital bill of rights to maybe protect against surveillance from these companies, allow you to use like encryption. You know, right. They're trying to stop or put backdoors into encryption, and we can't allow that to happen either.
Well, if you can't trust the government, if the government's out there growing poppies, for Christ's sake, you got the CIA and these guys protecting the poppy fields, right? You know, do you really want the government like storing and monitoring all your emails? I mean, and your voicemail and everything else? I mean, it sounds like a mafia organization, and they're just going to say, hey, Louis, we got some information on you. We know you're cheating on your wife, and we got some pictures, you know, and if you don't, like, murder these people for us, you know. I'm just being facetious, but you know what I mean? I mean, basically the NSA, the CIA and all these guys, if they got access to this material, it's kind of like what they did to Trump, right? That Steele document that was made up. Clinton said it was never made up, but it was not true. She actually hired a third party company to create that Steele document that said that, you know, Trump was pissing in the, you know, on prostitutes in a hotel or something stupid like that. I mean, and it was used against him. But then again, you know, when Biden's son's out there smoking crack cocaine with prostitutes, you know, and saying that he's getting 10% for the big man, you know, that gets blocked on.
And he said he lost his laptop to the Russians, I believe.
Isn't that?
And he was complaining about that while smoking.
Smoking crack. He was complaining while he's smoking crack with a hooker, a Chinese hooker, that he lost his laptop to Russians. I mean, like, does it not? I mean, unless that video, like, look. Maybe that video is made up. We have such good CGI.
Deepfakes exist, and that could possibly be deepfake.
It could.
Yeah, we don't know.
But we did. But it wasn't allowed to be discussed. Nobody was allowed to even discuss it, so we couldn't even know if it was true or not.
That's right.
But
Rudy Giuliani famously tried to hand that laptop to the FBI agents, and they said, "Nope, we don't want it."
Yeah, because probably they wanted to make sure that their guy, you know, won the presidency. I mean, nobody cares about the rule of law anymore. So getting back to the NSA, which you mentioned, if you can't trust the government, you know, to like we wasted $2 trillion or whatever, you know, $6,000 for every woman, man, child, and, you know, person living in America, you know, how the heck do you trust the NSA with recording all your phone calls? That's what Snowden basically said. I think that's why Snowden and Assange are like in hiding right now. I mean, they're really some of the best, you know, investigative reporters. I mean, people can say that Snowden's a hacker, which what he was, but I think what he did brought more value to our society in knowing, you know, what corruption goes on. And the same thing with Julian Assange. What do you think is going to happen to Julian Assange? You think they're going to let him out?
No, they're never going to let him out. He's going to get extradited to the States and then just probably end up in a supermax until he dies.
We live in an evil world, do we not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, we can fight it, and we should fight it, and we have been fighting it. But there's only so much we can do. Because, like, his star witness that said he was hacking stuff turned out to be a pedophile informant for the FBI who was having this pedophile charge, like, held above his head in exchange for throwing Julian Assange under the bus with some fake news. And he came out on record about, like, a month or two ago saying, yeah, I just did it because they told me to, or else I would get in trouble for this pedophile stuff.
And that's what, see, so here's the thing, right? So you probably got the FBI monitoring everybody's computer, right? So they create a list, you know, did you cheat on your wife? Have you looked at pornography? You know, did you screw up your taxes? Did you, you know, burn your house down, you know, or something? I mean, like, you know, something did happen, right? And they keep the information, you know, they know what's going on for probably almost everything. And then, so if they need somebody, this is what they do. They take this poor, well, I shouldn't say poor guy, the guy's a pedophile, but this moron, right? And they blackmail him to destroy the poor guy of Julian Assange, who hasn't, from what I've seen, done anything wrong other than being like a reporter. You know what I mean? People just, he's almost like you in a way. I mean, it's going to sound crazy. I mean, I'm not trying to get you arrested in England or something like that. But I mean, like, really, what has Assange done different than most people who post on like channels on Telegram or social media? I mean, you posted stuff about the election, about this woman, Tina, you know, and people can complain about that. And maybe they'll throw you in jail for posting, you know, information that was sent to you. But isn't that basically what happened to Assange? People sent him information. He put it out to the public and they throw him in jail.
Well, right before they brought charges against him, he came out saying, I'm about to drop all this information about UFOs.
Are you kidding me, Ron? I think you said that before.
Yeah, he said that. And then,
is that what,
like,
he said?
Not long after, like a week or two later, they got charges on him. That's what started this whole ordeal that he's still in now, like 10 years later.
UFOs. Was that the last? You know what? I'm going to have to run for president.
I think that was the last thing he said as a free man.
We got to get a presidential pardon for this guy. You know what I mean? So but if, you know, is the UFO, you've been involved with me now for, I don't know, maybe close to a year, you know, on this alien, you know, alien leaks, alien agenda stuff. Do you think from what little research we've done in the last, well, we've done some research, that's for sure, in the last year, do you think that's why they locked him up, was the UFO stuff?
I think it's highly, highly probable.
Wow.
So they're just trying to block that UFO stuff.
So is that why you're not giving me that really cool stuff on AnalyX that you said you've been researching for the last like 3 months? Is that why you're holding off on all that data? You don't want to get locked up with Assange? Is that what's going on, Ron? You're holding out on you?
Well, I did a bunch of research. I found a bunch of really interesting things. And yeah. I just haven't had time to put it to paper in a way that justifies the research. I really want it to be like a really well-written articles and did, like this.
Did you sell stuff, out, Ron? I see you on TV, on CNN. You're busy on these talk shows about election stuff and analyzing data. Is that what's going on? You're too busy working on the election stuff? No, I didn't
sell it. I've taken money from nobody. I did not take money from Mike Lindell for the Cyprus Symposium. I take no money from anybody. And
I was just joking.
That's kind of what allows me to move around in the position that I can move around in, because I'm not beholden to anybody. I'm not being paid by these big financiers, and I don't have allegiances because of money. So I'm able to easily call out bullshit of like people on the left or the right.
Hey, I think I bought you lunch once, Ron. I think I bought you lunch once.
Yeah. Well, I bought you lunch too. So
I know. I'm just joking.
We're probably about even.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Well, but
I'm talking about big money, like $100,000, you know, $1 million. Like I haven't taken any money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, well, that's probably, I mean, I can't believe that Assange, I mean, I think, you know, I've seen your posts recently, and I watched that stuff on CNN. I don't know if we want to get into it. I don't even know if we have time. We kind of got so off of alien agenda, although we did bring it back with the Julian Assange stuff. You know, what do you think? You said you didn't take any money, you can say whatever you want. What did you think of Lindell's event, the pluses and the minuses of that event? What would you say were the pluses and the minuses? Because some people are trying to poo-poo it on the internet, saying, mass media saying, hey, there's the worst, cybersecurity event. And then this whole thing with Tina and all the election service with Dominion. If you had to say like a couple minutes on that, what's the pluses and minuses from that event that came out of that event?
Well, the plus is that it's an event that has never happened before in that style. There's never been anything like that before. And there might not ever be another one, but but that event, like a lot of people learned a lot from that event. And Wendy Rogers was there, and she started like an election integrity caucus. And I believe representatives from all 50 states were there, and they've all joined up on this election integrity caucus to try to, I believe their first order of business is to try to push for forensic audits in all these different states. And Wendy Rogers is like a state senator from Arizona, like Arizona state senator, not a federal senator. And she's been really fighting hard for Arizona and for the election integrity movement in general. She goes around and does like talks and helps hype up forensic audits through many, many different states. And she's integral to getting the word out. And she was there at the Cyber Symposium. And I believe that was one of the more important things to come out of the Cyber Symposium was getting all of these state representatives in one spot and showing them, hey, there's something weird going on here, and we should probably get to the bottom of it.
I would agree. I saw that. And I think that the purpose, I think, of the cybersecurity, the purpose was, Mike said he had evidence that would change the election. But I think there were some challenges with that, to say the least. But at the end of the day, it was very successful, I think, because I think Mike Lindell's heart's in the right place, that he wanted to, he wants to fix the system, right? And at the end of the day, by people being woken up, and having people there to have, 50 states now agree to working on election integrity, I think that's a bipartisan thing. And I think that was a really good takeaway from the event. Some people, and I don't know if they were just trying, if they were like trolls or spies or whatever, were complaining, that there wasn't enough information on the PCAPs. Some people listening might want to know, what happened with the PCAPs? They're going to say, that's nice and all. You got this election integrity, but you guys were talking about, you were going to show all these PCAPs that had definitive proof,
I never said I'm going to show all these PCAPs that have definitive proof. I never said that.
I know.
I was asked to help check the PCAPs, and I was on the red team, which we did check the PCAPs.
Okay.
I can't say too much about it because I'm under NDA, but
okay.
Right. I can say there were PCAPs, and I did see PCAPs. That is okay. A fact.
Okay. Well, if you're under NDA,
I'm not going to go into what kind of PCAPs they were or the details of that.
Okay. All right.
Well, then
I get it. I work for the government, man.
But I can say that there were PCAPs, and I did see PCAPs.
Okay. All right. Well, you were put under under a difficult situation when I watched that on CNN or one of the shows. I think you did really well there, Ron. And I think, it seems like you're put out there almost at the last minute. And, I think, like you said, I think that the fact that 50 states are now going to be looking at election integrity, and I think without that event from Mike Lindell, that might not have happened. I really believe that probably wouldn't have happened. So I think that's a great takeaway. I think, for today's show, we were going to talk a little bit more about some alien stuff today, but Hayes got a little bit busy, and I'm not going to give him too much of a hard time on the show, but we'll have him on another show. But I think I've covered about what I wanted to cover. We've talked mostly about politics, but that's okay. This was a fun show. Is there anything that you wanted to go over on this show, Ron? Anything else that we didn't touch base with that you want to just talk about?
Well, if the CIA doesn't get control of their poppy fields, then who's going to fund the black projects?
Well, that's a great way to end the show. I always like ending with a little bit of comedy, but I actually think there's a lot of truth to that. So thanks for joining and co-hosting this episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
All right, Ron, you have a great day. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.